Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvetti and my fabulous co-host, Veronica Entwistle, fresh off
of
her show. Hi, honey. tonight's show, Embodying the Empowered Divine Feminine. Now, this is going to be a real interesting show because we got some real hot releases coming out that we need to talk about tonight, but we will get to the Empowered Divine Feminine. We promise. But there's some new information that is coming from several sources that I really felt needed to be addressed tonight because I think a lot of you will be getting variations of this, you know, through your computer from various sources, so I thought it was interesting. Show dedication tonight to support with divine guidance for President Obama regarding the announcement of the existence of extraterrestrial life.
Woohoo! Well, you know, maybe that is the embodiment of the divine feminine.
Well, I certainly would like to think so. So I want to get into this, and then you and I can chat about this, Veronica, because this is very, very, it's interesting the way the week set up and the way this information came out. And, you know, I'm sure the team will address it, but, you know, the team is relatively conservative, generally speaking. Of course, I could be totally wrong, so I don't know.
Well, they're extraterrestrial life anyway, aren't they? They probably are shy about it.
Well, I think, oh. Yeah, all right, okay. So I'm going to read this. Squirrel sent this over today. It's entitled Breaking News, Official Disclosure of Extraterrestrial Life is Imminent. This came from Michael Sala. Some of you may or may not know who he is. He has Prepare for Contact, which is a Yahoo group, and he and Angelica do some work in Hawaii with the dolphins and extraterrestrials. Anyway, he's been very involved in disclosure. Anyway, it goes on to say, an official announcement by the Obama administration disclosing the reality of extraterrestrial life is imminent. For several months, senior administration officials have been quietly deliberating behind closed doors how much to disclose to the world about extraterrestrial life. Dissatisfaction among powerful institutions such as the U.S. Navy over the decades-long secrecy policy has given a boost to efforts to disclose the reality of extraterrestrial life and technology. The impending disclosure announcement follows upon the secret implementation of a year-long openness policy on UFOs and extraterrestrial life. Over the period of February 12th to the 14th of 2008, the United Nations held closed-door discussions where approximately 30 nations secretly agreed on a new openness policy on UFOs and extraterrestrial life in 2009. The openness policy was implemented but never publicly announced due to threats against UN diplomats not to disclose details of the secret agreement. The secret UN agreement was based on two conditions. First, UFOs would continue to appear around the world, and second, the openness policy would not lead to social unrest in liberal democracies. Both conditions have been satisfied, making it possible for the next stage to begin, official disclosure of extraterrestrial life. September 24, 2009, Obama's chairing of the UN Security Council meeting on nuclear non-proliferation and disarmament signaled his emerging leadership role in tackling major global issues such as nuclear weapons. The Nobel Peace Prize was an important step in giving global legitimacy to President Obama in making an extraterrestrial disclosure announcement. Obama is therefore poised to play a prominent role in the increased global governance that will be necessary after an extraterrestrial disclosure. I hate to read this whole thing, but I don't want to quote this, you know, and not give you all of it because I don't want people running around telling everybody the ETs are coming, the ETs are coming. Timing will most likely coincide soon after his Nobel Peace Prize acceptance speech on December 10th in Oslo, Norway. Two independent and confidential sources have revealed to me that face-to-face meetings have recently occurred between U.S. military officials with one or more groups of extraterrestrial visitors. This has allegedly led to confidence being built for future cooperation with the extraterrestrials that will be formally announced to the world public either at the end of 2009 or early 2010. Official disclosure will most likely emerge in either of two scenarios. One is that President Obama will announce the existence of extraterrestrial visitors and describe one or more of these to the world. The second is that an announcement will be made concerning discovery of artificial structures at the moon's south pole, as revealed by the La Crosse mission. The scenario is supported by Hope. Anyway, he goes on to who supports them. Whichever of the above scenarios is used for announcing the existence of extraterrestrial life or technology, President Obama will figure prominently. Behind the scenes, powerful institutions are ensuring that nothing derails the planned disclosure announcement. The disclosure will follow upon a year of greater government openness on UFOs in accord with a policy secretly developed at the United Nations. If extraterrestrial disclosure does occur at the end of 2009 or 2010, President Obama will lead an unprecedented effort to promote global governance through the United Nations. The Obama administration and its supporters are poised to take a bold step forward in helping our planet become an interplanetary culture that openly deals with the challenges posed by extraterrestrial life. Now, I want to say about Michael Sala, was an ambassador to a small nation for the U.S. government, so he does have credibility as a PhD. It's uncharacteristic of him to come forward with something quite this bold. Now, interestingly enough, in the channelings that I sent out with the announcement this week, there was one from Matthew, messages from Matthew that Matthew, you know, has been in contact with his mother after crossing over at a fairly young age. And what was fascinating to me is that the announcements were so similar. I'm just going to read a small quote from here. To jolt the many sound sleepers with something that cannot miss getting everyone's attention, your government's acknowledging that other intelligent beings are in the universe. According to information reaching us about the unveiling, it will be understated rather than dramatic, such as a simultaneous fleet of spacecraft, decloaking, or a host of visitors landing. I didn't find that very undramatic. There will not be an immediate outpouring of interaction with your brothers and sisters from faraway homelands. Their introduction will be unfolded, not suddenly thrust upon a world where skeptics and non-believers will not greet this news with the same enthusiasm as you. Wisdom dictates caution so that suspense and doubt will not turn into chaos and fear. And this is always my concern with these things, and I'm just going to follow with one short paragraph that Matthew, because Matthew does tend to talk about the dark ones and so on. We don't really discuss that stuff on this show, and I have a reason for it. It's not head in the sand. It's like I really believe, and the team is adamant about this, to keep our focus on what we want to create, not what we don't. The dark ones know that once this long-denied truth no longer is deniable, it opens a virtual Pandora's box of their heinous activities throughout the ages. Thus, even as lightworkers are rejoicing that at long last the presence of other civilizations is publicly confirmed, the dark minds will be furiously churning out fear. Well, this is true. We know this. As puppets of the off-planet dark forces, they know that the energy of fear puts a barrier between light and consciousness, and always the goal of that powerful force field of negativity has been to conquer souls by capturing their light. Their puppets will make every effort to convince the populace that the ETs are to be feared. They have come to conquer and enslave. Okay. This was, again, I couldn't let this go by because this, within a week, this is going to be all over the Internet. And I really wanted to address this tonight because I think a lot of people are feeling that something big is coming, okay? Veronica, I'm sure you're feeling it, aren't you?
Yeah, I remember I kept hearing October 25th. Remember we talked about that?
Yes, actually we did talk about it, didn't we?
Yeah,
well,
we did.
Because I remember nothing anymore. I think that that's very interesting, and so I would just say that pay attention. Another client told me today there was an article in Time magazine about ETs. I thought that was fascinating. I did look it up on the web. Sure enough, there was an article in Time magazine. I think that things are starting to, you know, that's a magazine of a pretty well-credentialed magazine. You know, it's not one you expect to see articles about extraterrestrials in. There was a film on the History Channel. I wish I could remember the name of it. Unfortunately, I can't. Having to do with longevity. And I'm tying this in because when I watched it, and I had the team kind of on my shoulder, this was the technologies that they were using are off-planet. This is not on-planet stuff. This was not developed by scientists without help from off-planet. This I can tell you absolutely. They are actually shooting little tiny spaceship-like machines into the bloodstream that will, they literally seek out tumors and destroy them. And they stay in the body for the balance of the body's life. They're predicting that people who are alive today will be looking at a life expectancy of 1,000 years. So, you know, go on to the History Channel if you can find anything that's talking about longevity. You know, play it, record it, do anything you can. This is amazing. I'll try to remember to next week to have the name of it. But when I watched this program and watched them growing organs and ears and fully formed ears, and I mean, it was just freaking amazing. I just sat there in awe. My son recorded it for me. He's always good at finding these things. But I, my sensing here is that we're getting ready for a major acceleration. I don't know that it's going to happen quite as soon as has been predicted here, but I will say, especially since we're getting two different scenarios, but I will say that, something is definitely coming, and I think it's needed. I think, again, there's always caution not to throw everybody into total chaos. However, at the same time, it is needed as far as awakening is concerned. We are a little behind schedule here. Not all of you, you're all ahead of schedule, but as a planet in terms of the overall awakening process, we are behind schedule. We have, you know, the cosmos works in terms of timing, not time. And they have an intersecting time, I don't know how else to describe this, where things come together and intersect and they have to coincide there, not based so much on time as timing. And so the acceleration of things, I think, is going to happen. I don't think there's any question about it. How it's going to happen, I'm not certain. But I thought it was very important to talk about this tonight. Anything you want to contribute on this one, Veronica?
No, I am kind of delighted. That's all I can say is, wow, how shall we dress? Now, I figure they're going to, I know they're going to show up. I just hope it's something that isn't cloaked that we'll actually experience.
Well, here's what the team showed me today, which I think is probably more accurate. I think the introduction of the first race will be a human, not only humanoid, probably not a gray race. It will probably be a race that looks very human. Hair, everything. You know, there are races out there that look incredibly human. There are some Pleiadian races. There are some others. And so I think that will probably be the first kind of an introduction if there is one made directly from the present. Let's put it that way. If it's from a disclosure perspective, it will be the most palatable and the most easy for humans to deal with. That's my guess. Could be wrong, but that's my guess. Humans are probably the most used to seeing the grays. Those have been, you know, by the media everywhere. But I'm not altogether certain that humans are really ready for dealing with something that looks that dissimilar. I think that that has to be brought in under a gradual, you know, I think that just based on human consciousness. That's just kind of what the team is showing me. So, again, they're looking at the shock factor and also at the extreme right. There's real concern about the extreme right and the way that they're going to react to this. Catholics, you know, the Catholic Church is prepared for this. They are absolutely in alignment. They're ready to go. So that's no problem. But the extreme right is, you know, the religious right is not. And that's, I think, where we're going to see some real issues. But at any rate, as far as pulling our planet together, it may be helpful, and I'm certainly hoping for that. Matthew certainly goes on to say, you know, that there's going to be a lot of, it's real enthusiastic in terms of, you know, them working side by side with us and changing the planet and so on. I always hesitate to go into those things because the goals from the other side of the veil have never been for them to come here and everyone to give up their power. And this is always a huge issue. Bashar has said it many times. If you need to see us, you won't. Okay? If you need to see us, you won't. It is only when you can come together with us as equals, when you can come together with us from a loving perspective and kind of stand, you know, shoulder to shoulder, that it really works. So I'm just kind of throwing out some caution on some of this because I really wanted to kind of, I don't want to deflate everybody and say, gee, this isn't going to happen. I just want to prepare people for the fact that even if there is disclosure, which will more than likely be about the structures on the moon, okay, and then from there, you know, over time, you know, a very filtered form of talking about races. I don't know how quick they're planning to move, and I'm not sure that the team will tell us either, but well, Veronica, you're welcome to ask them about it. They may launch right into it. I don't know.
But the thing is that they're present. There are a number present already, aren't there? And then they cloak, and then we don't really see them. Right?
Oh, there are some walking around on the planet.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen them. You know, there are some races that could pass for human, and, you know,
But what I mean is it tends not to, well, of course, there's been a number of sightings, some major sightings, but I just wonder, I don't know, I was just wondering whether they're going to sort of be here in larger numbers before we catch on.
What do you mean be here in larger numbers? Explain.
Well, instead of having an arrival or, you know, they may just keep coming and not be seen by us, most of us. Until there's just a great number of them. I wonder if it'll be like that.
There's already a great number of them. The sky is full. The sky is full. That really isn't an issue. The issue is, you know, as people's frequency, you know, you'll see a disembodied human before you'll ever see an ET. So our ability to see, to raise our frequencies high enough to see them, you know, is very individualized, and it can be very disconcerting. It can, you know, from a frequency perspective, it can be very disconcerting. In terms of...
But I was just thinking that if there's so many around and they already are cloaked, when does it get to the point where Obama is talking to them? You know, is he going to wear a cloak? Is he going to... You see what I'm saying? Is it's like it could be kind of a...
No, I don't. I don't understand what you're saying. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm thinking it might be kind of a subtle way of integrating the awareness instead of some big announcement. You know?
Okay. Are you talking about sightings being a more subtle way?
No, I'm talking about when Obama gets up and makes an announcement. I'm wondering if that will actually happen or if it's more of a sneaky thing.
Well, if he, you know, again, the two things that are coming out from the article from Zala are he'll either make a disclosure about structures that they found on the moon, okay, that were definitely extraterrestrial, or, okay, disclose that he's had meetings with an extraterrestrial one or two races.
Okay.
Okay. I think the former rather than the latter is more realistic. I don't know that, you know, I could be wrong, but I don't know if America, we're close. We're a lot closer than we were last October. If you recall, last October we were looking at some ship that was going to make itself visible and, you know, okay, that was just a year ago. And so now it's a matter of, is human consciousness further along? Okay. Maybe it's further along in the sense that there's enough hopelessness that maybe they'll look at it from a perspective of hope instead of fear. I mean, you know, reading response is very, very big. Sometimes I feel these announcements come out to read response. How are people reacting to this?
Yeah, that makes sense to me, because I think it won't be the way we think it's going to be.
Right. Okay. So this is why I'm saying, you know, Matthew says one thing, you know, Sal is coming out with something else, and the other people, and you'll all send the announcement out next week. I didn't have it in time to send it out with this week's announcement. And you know, again, I think they're reading our responses. What does this do? And are people going to throw their hands in the air and go, I don't have to make the mortgage payment, the ETs are coming, you know, they're going to redistribute wealth. That's not their plan. Contrary to what other people would like to believe, it is not their plan. You know, there are some major things that need to be addressed on the planet. And one is
I think they're coming to put a huge case around our atmosphere so that we don't have to suffer from this erratic hoo-ha, you know, about global warming and so on.
Well, there are a lot of things that need to be addressed. Our water needs to be addressed. Our soil needs to be addressed. You know, our contamination needs that. There are a lot of things that need to be addressed that we need help with.
Sure.
To help us with those things without disempowering us is a big thing. To step into our financial chaos is disempowering. Are you with me?
I am, yes. I was getting cheeky inside. I'm going, well, what's empowering about having an oligarchy? You suck up all the moolah. I'm not sure which is disempowering.
Well, good point, and I won't argue that point at all. But again, we're in the process of unweaving and unwinding that. That's in its own process right now of crumbling.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're at such a critical stage in our own evolution. And you have to pull away from Earth to look at this from a broader perspective as the evolution of a planet. Okay? At what point do you intercede without interfering with the evolution of that species? I know this sounds very, I'm sorry, everybody, I know this sounds very cold, but it's really not, because from a soul perspective and from the evolution of everybody's soul and the soul of the planet, it's a big deal, okay? It's like getting so far, all right? And I believe once it happens, it will all work in a very lovely way, okay? But we're still going to have to deal with the fear and the chaos of it. That's inevitable. That's not going to go away. We have to deal with that. As a planet. I mean, we are all celebrating, but that doesn't mean everybody's celebrating. You know, that's the really big issue here. So, you know, we have to look at it from the overall perspective. I'm thrilled. I'm waiting for this belief. If anybody out there is waiting for it, I am. Believe
you have it right in your masthead, the ET healing, wow.
Well, you know,
Hey, Jackie, maybe they're coming for healing.
No, I don't think so. They've been, you know, this whole thing about me getting strong and, you know, change, all kinds of things are going on in my own personal life that are indicating to me that there's big changes coming. So, you know, I do see where they're really pushing me to do certain things, and I'm finding it very interesting, which I know is in preparation for some things that are coming. I also see them interceding in certain areas of people that are going to be key. They're going to be bridges, okay, that have posture on the planet. And I'm really fascinated with what I'm watching right now. So there's some major moves being taken place, and people are actually seeing this and saying, wow. Okay, we know that they interceded, and they did. And so they're making some moves right now that are far more aggressive than I've ever seen. Let's put it that way. And they're getting people in place, helping to get people in place that are doing good for the planet. And from a co-creative level, they're definitely pushing things along. So I'm seeing some real major stuff happen. So, I mean, at this point, nothing would surprise me. But, again, I don't want to see anybody, you know, let go of what they're creating or get out of their own way in terms of, you know, to stop growing themselves, saying the ETs are coming, everything's going to be taken care of. It's not. It doesn't change our personal growth patterns. It just means we need to become more of ourselves so we can become the bridges that we came here to be. Because people
are going
to be. So we
can enter the great universal governments and so on with the sense of sovereignty and strength.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a, somebody asked me today, was this going to be like Star Trek or Star Wars? And she said, well, she said maybe that's a bad comparison, but Star Trek is intercultural, blah, blah, blah. And I said, without doubt, you know, Star Trek. I mean, it is about us exchanging ideas, exchanging information, because we have things for them as well. It is not one-sided, contrary to what people think. They're fascinated by us as a race. We have an incredible spirit and a capacity for love that is honored in the universe. And I think a lot of people don't realize that our human spirit is so beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. So, and I, you know, I've noticed lately that I don't cry. I don't cry at breakups. I don't cry at any. But anytime there's a demonstration of love, I'm overwhelmed with emotion. Because that is it. I mean, that is what makes us so amazing as a race, our capacity to love. And in the midst of adversity, to have that sense of love for our fellow man or for, you know, it's amazing. It is the beauty of who we are. And it is incredibly honored. So let's get into the divine feminine here. It's kind of our subtitle. I want to tell a story. I went for a root canal the other day. And the doctor came in. I was with a specialist. And the doctor came in and was saying, you know, this tooth, this and that, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, look. I said, we need to get on the same page here. I said, I want you to understand something. You're going to be working in my mouth, on my body, and therefore your beliefs impact myself. And therefore, if you can't do this, holding the highest level for my tooth, then we can't do this at all. I mean, it's just that simple. And he really just stopped talking altogether. He did do a 360. It was really amazing to watch the way he changed how he did what he did. And he became very kind and very considerate. And he even called me at home from his cell phone to see how I was doing that night. So I thought it was kind of cute. But, you know, I really felt when I did that, I wasn't being a bitch, but I really was coming from my divine empowered feminine. And because, you know, it was very clear to me that, again, this God projection with doctors and dentists and so on and so forth. And, you know, I've seen people tend not to confront them and not to say what it is they believe and feel. And then when you add the title specialist on that, you know, because they charge so much more money, it seems to go up a notch. And but it really struck me when I saw how different he was, and I could feel he did an extraordinary job. It was the very back molar, and you know, it took forever, and I had absolutely no pain. And he prepared me, you know, that it could be very painful and this and that, because I never had any pain at all. And but it really struck me. And then we were talking with someone during the week, and this whole thing about sex, and I have to go into this because I think this is I made some notes, okay? And this is about the divine feminine, the powerful feminine, her role in sexuality, life, powerful, loving, strong, vulnerable, and filled with wisdom. The divine feminine, powerful, empowered feminine is not weak. She knows who she is and steps into it with full confidence. Sexuality. Many have declined to engage in sex for many years. There are many women, we talk about this all the time, Veronica, don't we, that have been celibate for a long time. However, you're going to find now that they there's a call to commingle, and this calling to commingle will be very strong as the desire to bring together the energies of the masculine and feminine are getting very strong because the masculine is changing and the feminine is emerging. And together, they will want to blend these new energies through the act of sex and use this amazing energy to send out to the planet for directed healing and awakening. I mean, this is really where we do blend these energies is during the sexual act. But it is, that sex has been so twisted in our society, in our culture, for so very long, that, I mean, we've seen it through Tantra and, you know, even in Kama Sutra, there was an honoring of the sexual act and using it in a whole different way. But in general, in the general populace, that certainly has not been the way. I do believe that during this time that so many people have been celibate, that we've been going through this enormous shift, both men and the women, okay, and especially the women in getting over their anger at men, at the masculine, for all of the suppression and repression that has been so repressed and has come to the surface, and all you people listening out there, you know, have been dealing with, maybe the whole planet is not dealing with it, but certainly those that are awakened right now have been dealing with it. And I think it's been really at the forefront of this whole amazing shift that we've been going through as we're learning to heal women, heal their anger at men so that they can embody the divine masculine so that they can manifest. And men, you know, getting over their fear of the fear and anger and need to dominate needing to dominate the feminine, so that they can embrace and embody their divine feminine and balance it with the divine masculine. So it's been this huge dance, the way I see it, has been going on. I mean, what do you think, Veronica?
I think you're absolutely right. I don't know how far along it's gotten, but I think that I know a lot of people that haven't had any sex for a long time for that reason.
Married and otherwise, by the way, not only single.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of people who are married and not having sex, and which I find very interesting.
But it is the same as what we've been talking about, and I even quoted the team from last week's show. It is the same of the way we had principles of dominance or submission or, you know, the lineage coming through and so on. We're all really tired of just that kind of loss, isn't it? I think it's a loss. I mean, I think that's what stopped everybody from finding too much. Couldn't figure out what's going on.
From doing what now?
Well, when we were bringing through, or when everybody seemed to be bringing through what was in the lineage already, or the losses between male and female, whether it was anger or subjugation or whatever, everybody was like, I'm done with it. I don't want to do that, and I don't think that's what's going on so much anymore. There's more of a, yeah, I think we've grown up or grown out of
it. Well, I think we've gone through an awful lot of healing to get where we are right now, and I think we're coming back around to where men and women are coming together in a new way. Now, I'm not going to say it's 100% yet, but I think the need I use the word commingle because I thought it was really very tastefully done.
Good girl.
But I think the drive to come back together and the loss of fear around it, I see the fear kind of melting away now. And we're not talking about just basic sex here. We're not just talking about the sexual, you know, the primitive drive of sex. We're talking about union, which is, there's a big difference here. The need to create that kind of union where you can enter it from a level of consciousness where you can direct the energy of the orgasm, because the power of an orgasm is so incredible. And to direct that energy is, you know, again, we've been so asleep as a race, not recognizing who we are, that the energy of an orgasm can be directed towards healing of wherever you want to send it. And I think that we just have not been intentional. I remember making, my own personal vow, God, 1995, that I didn't want to have sex anymore until I found someone who was enlightened enough that I could share that experience with, that we could do it together. And other than my one lustful day, although the person I was with was very enlightened. So, there's my excuse. Anyway, I'm going to let the team come in. Oh, Lord. I've talked through their time. I know that makes everybody not thrilled. Good night, everyone. I love you.
Good night, Jackie.
All right. Well, welcome, everyone. Well, lots of exciting information tonight from the ET's landing to sex. So we've covered the whole extremes. All right. Leave it to our channel to go from one end to the other. All right. So what would you like to address first, Veronica? We're going to leave this one to you.
Oh, my. Well, how about the adventure of meeting the ETs, as they're called? I would really like to know what your perceptions are about that, and how can we grow into it in a way that would help the whole thing flourish?
All right. Well, are you talking individually?
Well, maybe, but I think also...
Now, wait a minute,
community.
Veronica. Are you talking about a collective question, or are you talking about individually?
You mean, I don't know what the question is. I would say, how do we help our community appreciate or move toward it? Is that what your question is?
Well, no, we were trying to define your question.
All right. I think just to, my was personal, but also, like, there's this whole thing about what Jackie was talking about, the Christian rite or whatever. It's like, how do we move through fearlessly and be in our sovereign consciousness individually and or collectively? What do you recommend?
All right. Well, first of all, your desire and your intention is, it overrides everything else. And that's what you need to be concerned about, is your desire and intention.
Right.
People will come to you, Veronica, all of you out there listening. All right? We assume that you want to be a bridge at some level. To be the voice of reason for people. And if they know that you have, and certainly you all have friends and relatives and people that know that you're interested in this kind of a venue, you're going to be the first. Your phones will be ringing off the hook. We promise you that, all right? This is what you've all been waiting for. Now, how do you go about it? Pretty simple. Intention. All right? Be clear and clean about it. Now, do you need to go, you know, standing on some corner, the ETs are coming. No, no, no. We don't want you walking around with some big play card. That's not the goal. All right? That just creates fear. Now, for those of you that are out there and you're working in some metaphysical pursuit or in any pursuit for that matter, where you find an opening in conversation, you know, these things are showing up all over in the news now. This is not just, you know, one occurrence that you're looking at. It's popping up here and there and here and there. You can open it up. Some of you are afraid to do so. You don't want people to think you're crazy or goofy. But as information begins to leak, be the voice of reason. Not sensationalism, people. That is not going to help anybody. Not sensationalism. You can all talk about the fact that you've heard ETs talk, all right? You hear us speaking here. And we'd say that we're pretty nice. All right? That we love you. That we want the best for you. Now, that's being an emissary, isn't it?
Yes.
All right? Now, many of you have had experiences. Certainly those that work with us in the dream state, whatever, during your session time. And you've experienced nothing but love. And service, and help, and care. And there's much that goes on in your dream state. Some of you remember and some of you do not. But it's ongoing. You're working on both sides of the veil, people. Now, how do you help the community? Well, that's a good question, Veronica. And we would say your goal, all of you, is to raise your frequencies, to stay in joy, to stay in gratitude, to stay in appreciation, to be as happy as possible. Not because of anything, just to be happy, for crying out loud. Because that resonance will attract faster than any other resonance. Get healed. All right? Your human lineage, all of this crap that you've all been carrying around. All right? The reason we started doing the work that we did was to help you to break free in an accelerated way so that you could be out of lineage, all right? Out of the hold of other lifetimes so that you could be functioning from a point of clarity and light that would allow you to be the bridges that you came here to be. All right? Forgive. Find the people you need to forgive. We don't mean call them up, people. We don't mean knock on their door. But decide who it is in your lives. And we've said this before so many times. Let go of the past. Heal it. That will hold you back. All right? Start communicating this. You go to bed at night. Send out your intentions. If you really want to do this, to meet your star families. Now, you may only remember it from the dream state. Not all of you are ready to walk around a corner and bump into your star families. You might go screaming out the front door. Seriously now, Veronica. But you can send it out there. Reasonable requests. I want to be aware, to have a form of communication where I'm not afraid, but I can hear their presence. Perhaps they communicate into my mind. Or I connect with them in a meditative state. All right? Ask them to show you what they look like. One part at a time. And if you can't get anything, then pretend. It's the same energy. You pretend you can make up a face, and suddenly the face will start changing. A little here, a little there. Do you understand? Does that make sense, Veronica?
Yes, it does. Very much.
Oh, all right. Show your intent to want to really get to know them. That's putting forth effort. And they're excited to have that happen. For you, those of you that are artists, start drawing. Ask them if they will help guide you in making a physical representation on paper or canvas or whatever. If that's what you'd like. Open up lines of communication. I want to communicate with you. I really want to. Can you teach me about you? Any little thing. Start with a name. They will spell the name one letter at a time. Have a tablet by. You don't need to open your eyes. You just, you know, a tablet right by your arm and a pencil, big letters, you know. And they'll spell it for you. A, is that correct? All right. D, is that correct? All right. Until you get it. They want to make it as clear for you as you desire to have the clarity itself. They're excited. This is bridging people, your individual bridging. Does all this make sense, Veronica?
Yes, it does.
Does it answer any of your questions, or do you have more that you need to know?
Well, yet? You know what? I have a question that may be kind of irrelevant, because I know you're infinite consciousnesses, but do you have some rapport with some of these beings, and have you ever been in the physical with some of them?
All right, which beings are we talking about?
What we're calling extraterrestrials now, I'm assuming,
all right,
are
some of us. Okay, all right. All right, we've described to you who we are, have we not? Do you remember the description?
It's been quite a while, but I believe yes.
All right. Would you like us to do it again?
Yes, please.
All right. If you can all close your eyes and envision for as far as you could see in every direction, every form and kind of extraterrestrial that you could imagine. All right. And then, as one of our dear people actually saw, she did a very good job, kind of out of that one face emerging. All right? So, in essence, a representative of the collective, would it not be?
Yes.
All right. And all the energy in between all of those beings, all right, the source of all, or as Abraham would say, pure source energy, whatever name you choose to use, God, Goddess, all that is, we don't care. It is a combination, and because you are humans, everything is separate to you, so it's impossible for you to really see things and be aware of things. Not as this or that, but this and that. This, that, actually, not this, that, this, that. All together. It's hard for you to imagine, all right, everything as one. The irony here is that everything is one. Now, as we communicate with you, all right, it would be impossible for us to individualize through our communication. Now, there are many that work with the channel in the team, all right, that are individualized, yes. There are many others that visit all of you, any of you that have appointments or call for, you know, email for assistance or, all right, that are working with us. All right, that are being monitored. And we could go in, and perhaps next week we'll go into the level of monitoring that you're all receiving right now. And that may help you to kind of understand what's going on here. Would you like us to do that next week?
That would be wonderful.
Would that be helpful to you?
Yes, it would.
All right. And perhaps for all of you, it would give you a greater sense of what's going on here and how we're working with you. All right? And why we're working with you. And what your contribution is. And how much more you are than you realize. Now, I have a question, Veronica.
Well, we're part of soul families with a lot of these beings and the consciousnesses as well, aren't we? I mean, some of it is part of us, right?
Well, if the question is, or I will change this, if the question is, have all of you had lifetimes or are you having lifetimes as extraterrestrials, the answer is yes.
Yes.
Are many of you having lifetimes as collectives as well? Yes. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does.
All right.
It's going to be a very interesting time if it becomes...
Well, we'll go so far as to say this, all right? Especially now, as you're going through this incredible merging process, you may encounter extraterrestrials that you think are just extraterrestrials and totally separate from you. And it may take a while for you to understand that they may be another lifetime that you are having, that you perceive as either future or past or parallel. And yet you will experience yourself as separate from them, without knowing at first that you are part of them and they are part of you. Does that make sense?
Yes. I'm not sure what we would do with that.
Well, again, there's so much information. We don't want to overwhelm you. That's not our desire. But as we always try to explain to you, there is no limit to the possibilities and probabilities of everything. When you ask a question, you ask us to take it down into a limited sense, and we do the best that we can with that.
Yes.
If we
and
begin
so
to
that
expand,
as all these beings show up, as we are more how about that? If we're more conscious of them on our planet, it means we're having to open our limitation. We're having to hold a much bigger concept of reality.
Well, that's a given. We're asking you to hold a much bigger concept of reality right now,
mm-hmm.
even in working with us. We're not just a friendly voice on the radio.
But you're that, too.
All right. But do you understand?
Yes, yes.
In other words, if we continue to explain more and more of who we really are and all that's really going on, and all that's happening with you, which we will expand on next week, all right? We will give you those pieces to kind of help you begin to understand what an important part of a shift in the collective you all are.
Okay. We have to draw to a close, unfortunately.
All right, you want to talk about your shows, Veronica?
Sure, I just wanted to say we haven't talked about sex yet, but I guess that's next week.
Oh, yes. Well, you remind us. All right. We'll get into sex.
You bet. Next week on Paradigm Shifters, we have Steve Behrman, and this is the first of two parts talking about conscious evolution. Steve Behrman is also known as Swami Beyondananda, and he co-wrote with Bruce Lipton this book, Conscious Evolution. So he's on next Tuesday on Paradigm Shifters at 8 o'clock. And then the week after on Paradigm Shifters is Bruce Lipton at 8 o'clock. So I'm pretty excited about that. And then on Thursday is Radiance by Design at 7 p.m. West Coast time. And we've been talking about, I've been using terms like enslavement because I picked it up from someone else, how we can be run by subconscious things. And it's a call-in show, and we've been releasing a lot of that. So
wonderful.
And then there's you at 8 o'clock talking about sex, right?
All right. Now, we want to say as an endorsement, all right, to these next two shows that you have, Veronica, this information is very, very important, all right? And so we highly endorse it, and we encourage all of you to listen, all right?
Thank you.
And get the book as well. Get the book as well. We encourage you to do that as well. Now, we want to talk to all of you right now and to say that you are welcome to call us in tonight. And in that process, if you ask to have an experience tonight, that you can attempt to bring back with you, if not a visual, a sense of connection with some of your star family. All right? Notice we didn't say all. Some of your star family, perhaps only one. But to have a beautiful connection, we promise no fear. This is not about creating fear for any of you. But if you ask, we will know. And we will say to all of you tonight, sweet dreams. Because this can be a very fun time for all of you tonight. Now, Veronica, we love you. All of you who are listening, whether you're listening tonight or you listen to the archives, please know we love each and every one of you totally and completely. We appreciate your commitment to change, to growth, to love. To love, to love. Remember this. And also heal and healing of every aspect of your consciousness. Until we speak with you all again, dear, dear ones, namaste.
Namaste. Thank you so much. Good night, everyone.